Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, All 7 Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by Sports Drink. Happy Thanksgiving. It's Rivalry Week. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. the host whose team has won 17 of their last 19 rivalry games. And with me, as always, is AJ.
2020 was the only year I had peace. Marchese.
Is that what I sound like?
Yeah? Wait, you didn't know that?
Oh my god. This is devastating news. I don't think I'm going to talk the whole episode now.
Have you never listened to one of our shows before?
Absolutely not. This is not a good program.
Today we're talking all the NFL draft prospects who slashed, crashed, and mashed in Week 12 of college football. Let's hit it.
Going out to Vegas, gonna set my draft, gonna set my draft on fire.
Seven
rounds in heaven with my lady, driving out to Vegas, baby, looking for a Stingley or Thibodeau. Who's gonna bet it on draft day? Who's gonna wager future picks away? Who's gonna reach for a blue blood lineman? The home team. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
This year, Turkey Day at MyBookie gives you plenty of reasons to be thankful, starting with a $250 risk-free bet on Thursday afternoon when the Dallas Cowboys host the Las Vegas Raiders. Bet the spread between the Raiders and Cowboys at MyBookie. When you win, you win. And if you don't, MyBookie will refund you up to $250. Simply put, you can't lose this bet. And that's why I call no risk, all gravy. Before you get your wager in, set yourself up for success by doubling your first deposit when using promo code SPORTSDRINK at MyBookie. That's promo code SPORTSDRINK, as in one word, to double your initial deposit all the way up to $1,000. So you won't need to break the wishbone to be the one to come out ahead. Feast risk-free on Turkey Day with MyBookie, and make sure to stick around for seconds as they gear up for what should be a fun Black Friday with tons of odds, boosts that will have your belly and your pockets full. Bet anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie. AJ, how happy are you that MyBookie's back with us?
You know what? For Thanksgiving, this is all I wanted, and my dream came true, and I'll pardon them for leaving us in the first place.
Just a little teaser here for a post-Thanksgiving episode. They've got a post-Thanksgiving ad read.
Like the belly buster.
Yeah, so yeah, just I know that's going to bring the listeners back.
That's only listen for is MyBookie ads.
Yeah, they've been devastated for the last 112 shows that didn't have the MyBookie ads.
Is that an accurate number, or are you just guessing?
No, that's obviously that's correct.
Okay, good. I'm glad you got the numbers off the top of the dome.
Speaking of domes,
I thought you were going to say numbers, but okay.
That would have made way more sense. Let's see what I can do with this. Speaking of domes,
do a helmet transition here, like senior
bowl. The Kibbe Dome in Idaho.
Okay, never mind. Yep.
Has been rumored to host the Senior Bowl in 2027.
Who's those rumors coming from?
Just don't worry about it.
Okay, I won't. I'll be cautiously optimistic, Rob. That's it. That's all I
it's
can
part
be.
Of it's part of Jim Nagy's plan to unite America.
Honestly, there isn't something as beloved in the entire country. Everyone agrees on it, on how amazing the Kibbe Dome is.
Fact. But for now, the Senior Bowl is in Mobile and the draft starts there. And we've got a whole bunch of names I'm about to read to you. Oh, no. AJ, are you ready?
No, because I'm going to forget them all.
Our latest Senior Bowl acceptances. Baylor running back Abram Smith, Boise State receiver Khalil Shakir, Coastal Carolina tight end Isaiah Likely, Colorado State tight end Trey McBride, Iowa State tight end Charlie Kohler, Michigan State tight end Connor Hayward, Boston College offensive lineman Zion Johnson, Washington State offensive lineman Abraham Lucas, Kentucky offensive lineman Darian Kennard. We're not even halfway there yet. Central Michigan offensive lineman Bernard Raymond and Luke Godedek. North Dakota offensive lineman Matt Woltzko. LSU offensive lineman Ed Ingram. Michigan offensive lineman Andrew Stuber. Kentucky defensive lineman Josh Paschal. Western Kentucky edge rusher D'Angelo Malone. LSU linebacker Damone Clark, Iowa State linebacker Mike Rose, Baylor linebacker Terrell Bernard, Baylor DB Jalen Petrie, Pittsburgh DB Damari Mathis, Texas DB Joshua Thompson, Kentucky DB Yusuf Corker II, Toledo DB Tyson Anderson, and Auburn DB Roger McCreary. And scene.
Well done, Rob. That wasn't too bad. What do you want me to do? My most excited offense, my most excited defense?
Yes, please. Talk for a bit. I need to catch my breath.
My most excited. Let me try to remember all those names. There's quite a few good offensive players on that list there. Most excited, though, a guy we've talked about a lot. I think I want to see Isaiah Likely the most. You know, like, just want to see him get on the field down there and fucking blow that shit up. Because I think he's going to be a big-time riser. Also, I'll add Zion Johnson also on the offensive side of the ball. I think that's his week to shine. I think that's his money week. You know, I've talked about him a few times on the show. That BC team is not getting the same love, except for me, that they were last year. And, you know, Johnson had that down year last year playing tackle. We kicked back to inside, and it's been great. So I think coming to the Senior Bowl, maybe showing off versatility, I want to do. Just stick him inside, leave him inside, and let him shine, because I think he's going to dominate one-on-ones.
Now that you've had your say, I will have mine. I'm only excited about the Baylor guys and the Maction guys.
I respect that.
I know it sucks because running backs aren't that important at the Senior Bowl, but I am so happy to see Abram Smith there. He's becoming one of my favorite backs in the country. I think he'll kill it in pass protection there, which will help him a lot. The other thing is getting to see him catch the ball more. Baylor doesn't really ask him to do that, so that's going to be huge. Offensive line wise, we have a sick group already. You talked about Zion Johnson, Abraham Lucas, and Darian Kennard. Like those three could all be top 50 picks.
Yep.
And then I'm real excited about Bernard Raymond, the Central Michigan left tackle, former high school wide receiver, came to the Chippewas as a tight end. He is only started playing football in like the 11th grade. So much potential. 6'7", just like 3'10". Freaky athlete. Has dominated Maction. If I were to make a list of the best prospects through Maction, it's him and Ralph Hawley probably.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm really excited to see him against top tier competition. And then defensive side of the ball, Terrell Bernard's one of my favorite players in the country. He's the Abraham Smith of defense for me. Just a fucking nightmare of a tackler who just wants to kill you. Wicked blitzer too. And his teammate Jalen Petrie is one of the feistiest nickels in the country. And, I mean, we talked about them both last week when Baylor upset Oklahoma. So getting to see him match up with some of these talented pass catchers we've got. And then Tyson Anderson, who kind of entered the year as maybe the most hyped Mac prospect. It's part of the position in college football. Is like a lot of safeties aren't going to get highlighted unless they're being used consistently as chess pieces. He's one of the guys who's been asked to play single high. He's long, he's rangy, he's had a good year for Toledo. Four-year starter. I want to see what he can do when asked to play man coverage because he's been playing a lot of deep half and single high. So getting to see how he does in those scenarios will be really fun.
And old Jim Nagy tweeted out something like, If you like Notre Dame's Kyle Hamilton, you'll, or if you love Kyle Hamilton, you'll love Tyson Anderson or something like.
Yeah, that's a good take.
All right, next, sir. For me, defensively, I got to say I'm most excited to see Roger McCreary, who could be one of the top cornerbacks in the class. Might be a first round pick. Has had a really nice year. Auburn is 6-5, but they're always ranked, so they're 6 still. It doesn't matter. Iron Bowl this week, baby. But seeing him, one-on-ones, I mean, wide receiver DB one-on-ones are always the best part of the week, right? So that's not true. Offensive line, defense line. But secondly, wide receiver DB. So just seeing him against what looks like a really good wide receiver core. I didn't mention Khalil Shakir, but he's been a fucking dude. I think he's going to shoot up the boards, too, on offense. But seeing guys like him going up against McCreary, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, it's big, I think, to get a potential first-round SEC corner in McCreary. Yep. Already committed. We'll see if hopefully that holds up. But yes. I think it's especially interesting because the vast majority of receivers so far are small school guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good group, but there's no one who's a definite like top 50 pick or anything.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a huge prove-it week for those guys. The tight end group's shaping up real well, and it's a great group of small school tight ends, too. And I just want to say, I think Connor Hayward's going to have that, like...
Jalen Hurd?
No, I was going to say more like... what was that? The West Virginia tight end a couple of years ago.
Oh, my God. Wesco.
Yeah, I feel like he's going to get, like, way overdrafted. But I love Connor Hayward.
I'm still waiting for the Wesco breakout.
It's coming.
It's coming. I feel it in my bones.
Connor Hayward's going to be a Steeler. He's going to join his brother.
These tight end hybrids are always overdrafted and never good. That's my take.
That's fair. Having likely McBride and Kohler, though,
yeah,
along with Cole Turner, like those are four of the dudes who are going to get hype as top 100 potential tight ends. So getting to see them all side by side is going to be pretty important for it all.
I mean, there's still a chance one of those guys is tight end one.
Most definitely, because it's still, to me, it's probably the most open position in the class, just in terms of it's really deep, but there's no for sure top 50 guy at all.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Okay, week 12 in the books. One last week of regular season football other than USC Cal. We still have USC Cal on championship weekend.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes me feel a lot better.
Yeah, you gonna watch that?
Oh, yeah. I'll be tuning in, baby.
Friday night, get to watch the Pac-12 championship. Saturday night, get to watch Cal play USC. Week 12 in the books. Ohio State dominates. What else is new?
Yeah.
Down goes Michigan State. Things are shaping up for this to be a great rivalry week. But before we get there, it's time to break down the best and worst draft prospects that we saw in week 12. But let's start with a non-draft eligible, although one of my freshmen technically is draft eligible, so
that's, I don't like that. I don't like hearing that.
I'll just jump into it. Third year freshman Lou Nichols, the Central Michigan running back.
Yeah, baby. Gave
us one hell of a MAC performance against Ball State and the biggest matching game of the year. Carried the load for the Chips, 219 yards, 3 touchdowns. He's a grown-ass man. He's a guy who was, you mentioned to me, like, he had bigger offers, I think, than Central Michigan. But he chose to stay in his home state. And
as all the greats do, Rob.
Yeah, he legit NFL talent, I think. Like, tell him not, to come out, not right? This year, not this year, but he leads the country in rushing.
You know what? I think the only position I got no problem coming out that early is running back.
Probably. The shelf life's so short. Why not?
And there's so many injuries in the league, too. You're going to get your shot. Like, if you got the goods, you're going to get your shot.
100%.
But Lou is sick.
Yeah, agree. And I just want to mention, on the other side, in that same game, the Ball State running back, Carson Steele, he is the most maction running back. And he's a true freshman. He was Mr. Indiana football last year. Stayed in state at Ball State. And he's been great for them this year. He's been one of the most important pieces of that offense, especially in a year where Drew Plitt hasn't been very good.
Yeah.
Carson Steele looks like the real-life Tim Riggins.
Hey, if we're going to stick in the MAC, I'm going to shout out Trayvon Rudolph again, who I said broke down his touchdown run on the show, but hey, this is the new week. This was that week. I'm so confused now. He had like a shit ton of yards, 80 yards receiving, 94 rushing with that 75-yard end around touchdown. I don't know, man. He just keeps fucking killing angles in the MAC. He's a ton of fun.
Yes, he is. And speaking of the MAC, Sky Moore just had a huge touchdown for Western Michigan.
Who could have been in your best sophomore last week, too.
Yes. Caleb LB having a good night. My final best freshman is Utah safety Cole Bishop, who was popping all over the field against Oregon. Broke up two passes, had a big TFL. Long, thin, but rangy safety. Looked feisty as hell.
I'll give you... I'm surprised you didn't mention Denzel Burke, who I thought was fucking outstanding against State.
I knew I didn't have to because you bring it up. Thank you.
You're welcome. I got him in another one. I mean, had that amazing forced fumble. Should have been forced fumble. Like, swiped the ball out of Reed's hands while he was still on top, reaching for the first. That was an amazing play. Of course, they overturned it and ruled it incomplete. Regardless, amazing play from Burke, and he was just balling out on the field. He got banged up for a bit, came back into the game. Said this week he's not missing the game, so that's all good for Ohio State. Yeah, he's a dude. You hyped him up the last couple weeks, and he's showing out right now.
Yeah, he's the next great Buckeyes corner, Denzel Burke.
Speaking of the next great player from the game, Donovan Edwards, Michigan's running back, finally got his shot, kind of. 3 carries, 8 yards. But that's not what was impressive, Rob. He had 10 catches for 170 yards and a touchdown. The touchdown was a sweet, like 70-ish yards on a wheel route. He just looked like a better athlete than anyone on the Terps. Caught it, just outran around the whole Maryland defense. Big breakout game for Edwards. Going to be fun watching him move forward in that Michigan backfield.
Is he better than Trayvon Henderson?
No, not right now, but maybe.
That's what I thought. Welcome to Rivalry Week.
Sorry, yeah, he is.
Who's your best sophomore?
There's a good pick of them. I'll start with Bryce Young, who had the Alabama passing yardage record against Arkansas, single game, obviously. 559, 5 touchdowns, 9 incompletions. I'm glad that we are getting to the point where we don't know who the fuck is good in this quarterback class. But next year looked really, really murky as well. And Bryce Young and, I hate to say it, but CJ Stroud are really emerging.
Bryce Young and CJ Stroud are the two best sophomores this week. I mean, Young threw for 559 and 5 touchdowns against Arky. Stroud threw for 432 and 6 touchdowns while completing 91% against Michigan State.
I thought Stroud was better, for the record. I just knew you.
I think he was, too. That one touchdown to Olave was one of the best throws of the college football season.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, the ball just kept carrying it and carrying and carrying. And it was like, what, maybe 60-ish air yards-ish, 55? But just kept carrying it, and he just threw Olave open. Like, Olave was... not at the right hash, but like at the NFL right hash, if that makes any sense. And he threw it outside, like towards the left hash. And that was a hell of a fucking, not to mention, you know, 15 yards further away downfield. That was a hell of a throw.
He's had a couple throws this year that are just absurdly placed. He layers the ball so well. He doesn't have like a massive, massive arm, but it's a well above average. And it's really, I think, His processing speed and his ability to like look off receivers. I think they highlighted it throughout this game too. Like 3 of the touchdowns, he just easily moved the safety with his eyes to open it up for Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, and Jackson Smith Njigba. And I don't know, Young and Stroud, who are both technically freshmen still.
Yeah.
Those two look like they're going to be considered top 5 picks entering next season.
Agreed. Totally agreed.
Also, Jackson Smith Njigba was as good as always. Too. Yeah.
And yeah, it was kind of like the usual suspects here. I put Smith Njigba and Will Anderson, who might be the first pick in the draft next year. We're just chalking it up. Another huge game. 11 tackles, a sack, 3.5 TFLs. He's got the most pressures in college football over the last 2 years.
Is next year's class better than this year's, AJ?
Isn't it always?
Yep.
I swear to God, weren't there people that said this year's class would be better than last year's in terms of quarterback last year? Wasn't there a couple of those people?
Yeah, you.
Me. Yeah, and prove me wrong. You can't. Look at the class. It's been shit.
Speaking of defenders, I also thought Noah Sewell, despite Utah blowing the doors off Oregon, Noah Sewell was kind of the only guy on defense for the Ducks that really stood out throughout that game. He just
he's a train.
He just get like that his sack where he just fucking flew downhill and ate up Cam Rising. There was a lot of that. He knocks your head off when he hits you.
Sewell's fun, man. He's I don't know. I think he's like the most enjoyable sophomore. You know, like going into the class, I already know I'm gonna love him. Like I don't remember a linebacker that's in recent memory that I've felt that much about.
Yeah.
I guess Parsons, but a little different, but yeah.
He's kind of got a similar thing to Parsons where he just is so physical but so athletic downhill. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense. And like he's a terrifying blitzer and he carries his weight so well.
Yeah, well, he's listed at what, like 260 or something?
Yeah, he's like 30 pounds heavier than Parsons too.
Yeah, that's freaky. He doesn't look like it though.
No. Weekday Warrior.
I didn't watch too many weekday games, so I'm going to go back to Maction. And okay. I'm going to go to the game, to the man they call Baby Juice Check, baby. Clint Rakovich, the NIU.
Put him in the Senior Bowl, Nagy.
HVAC, he will be in the Senior Bowl. I know Nagy fucking loves him. I think it was him that called him Baby Juice Check. So it was only like 11 carries, 75 yards. That's a really good average, and two touchdowns. But like whenever they needed a first down, it might be like 3rd and 7. They just handed him the ball and he like did it for him and like obviously blocking well and stuff. He's not a big dude. I think he's like 5'11", 220 or something like that. But he's a fun player. He's fun to watch in the MAC. I don't know if he's legit or anything, but he's got some skills.
He's a very MAC player.
Yes.
My weekday warrior is a guy I've gone to before. The only time I watch Louisville is when they play on weekdays. And every time that happens, Malik Cunningham is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So against Duke, who is one of the worst Power 5 schools I have seen this year, he threw for 300 yards, 5 touchdowns, ran for 224 and 2 more touchdowns. He had the 72-yard touchdown run that I sent you a clip of when it happened.
Insane, yeah.
And it was just so ridiculous. It's hard to explain how elusive he is and the contact balance he showed on top of the burst to go down the sideline and separate from everyone. Malik Cunningham's quietly having an amazing season. He has 18 rushing touchdowns on the season.
Yep.
He has a whippy arm. I think he's quietly becoming a guy we're going to be talking about as a senior QB prospect in 2023.
You know, Cunningham has been so up and down his whole career. There's been moments where I'm like, yeah, I got no doubt that this guy's going to be, you know, a draftable guy down the line. And then last year happened, he was so bad. I'm like, okay, let's forget about him. And then this year, he's been great again. And I think it's going to be hard for the Baltimore Ravens not to look at him. I'm going to say that as their backup quarterback. Give me one reason, right?
Like, this is currently his third year as a starter. He's a redshirt junior, so he's going to assumably be back next year.
Yes.
The quarterback class next year in terms of seniors doesn't look great. Like he's going to be like, especially with what the NFL's looking for, especially given what some guys like Lamar Jackson's kind of helped open the way for more athletic quarterbacks, but obviously he's not Lamar, but no. The arm talent, like he's completed over 60% of his passes all 3 years as a starter. He doesn't turn the ball over that much. And he's such a dynamic athlete. Like, and we just saw Tyler Huntley win a game for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yep.
Exactly. Like, that also helps him. And Malik Cunningham, I think, is a better athlete than Huntley was at Utah.
Yeah.
And has more arm than him, too.
Agreed. Just maybe not as accurate, but yes, agreed with you.
Yeah. So I'm pretty excited for what the future holds with Malik Cunningham.
He's fun. He's definitely fun.
Yeah. Okay, best prospects of the week. Starting on offense, who you got?
I split it between Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson.
That's so funny. I split between two receivers as well.
Two different receivers?
Different receivers. What a week.
What a week, Rob. No, I mean, I think they deserved it for that absolute fucking demolition job on Michigan State. Olave had 140 yards, 2 touchdowns, 7 catches. Wilson, very similar. 7 catches, 2 touchdowns, 126 yards. I'll start with Olave. We mentioned that the second touchdown when Olave just got thrown open by Stroud. Had that other one, the post route, the first touchdown. He's open. Like, Stroud puts it on him. It was a really nice catch, though. Like, it was a good throw, but also a nice catch.
Yeah.
And then, like, just a little bit of adjustment and just kind of leapt in a nice catch. Then he had that one really crazy ball adjustment catch where Stroud just kind of chucked it up, getting hit, and he adjusted to it on the sideline. That was amazing.
I think, like, that was amazing. But both the touchdowns, too, just showed off, I think, really great ball tracking skills.
Yeah. Yeah, like which he showed all year, of course.
The
yeah.
throws were like better than the catches, but the tracking skill and it, especially his ability to create separation too, and it's perfect that I finally last week came out and said like Chris Olave's been the last couple weeks kind of a letdown, and then he comes and shuts me up immediately.
Yeah, no, very much. because Stroud, that was a great throw to get him open, but also Olave to just keep on motoring and get the separation, like you just said. Gary Wilson started right away with it, just a wide open, just, I don't know, the cornerback was sleeping, gave him a free release. I saw on Twitter today, they pointed, I forget who it was, one of the PFF guys, I think, just like showed him like, just, he was already knocking the guy's hands off, but the hands weren't there, just like instinctively, and he was just, God, it's such a clear release, and he was wide open from the get-go, and Stroud, good ball, easy, nothing doing for Michigan State. He had that one really nice comeback route, and then he put like a sick juke on. He didn't get too much yak, but it was just like a nasty juke. When he made that juke, I'm like, oh no, here he goes. And then luckily there's three Spartans there for Michigan State. It didn't fucking matter. But Wilson's fucking good. I mean, I think I might know who your guy is, so I don't want to jump on any toes there, but they're very good. They're fucking elite, and Michigan State secondary sucks, but they were still great.
Yeah, they're so great that Jameson Williams had to transfer to Alabama and then became one of the best pass catchers in the country in the SEC. Blitnikoff
finalist, yeah.
Yeah, so my wide receiver tie is two SEC receivers who made this game fucking dynamic.
Yeah.
Treylon Burks at Arkansas, Jameson Williams at Alabama.
Are they the first four receivers off the board?
They gotta be. They all four of them, I mean, Olave, Wilson, and Burks have exceeded the hype. And Jameson Williams out of nowhere is joining the party.
Yeah.
Let's start with Burks, who was playing banged up. And it felt like Alabama should destroy Arkansas. Bama got up 10-0. But it felt like it was going to be a slow cooking of a death for Arkansas.
Yeah.
But they fought back and they held in a huge part of that on top of the KJ Jefferson was Treylon Burks, who had his first touchdown. Was kind of the patented, like, get him the ball in space and just let him break a tackle, make a play. And he stiff-armed Malachi Moore for a touchdown. But the other touchdown is, I think, the one that was maybe as impressive as some of the catches he's made this year. What he did on that second touchdown, they were down 31-14 in the third quarter. KJ Jefferson went to him back shoulder. He had Job on him. And he just he caught the ball, created some separation, and fucking ran the whole Alabama defense, including multiple DBs who had angles on him. And he's a 230-pound receiver. Like, I think if you saw Jameson Williams or Garrett Wilson do that, you wouldn't be shocked. But to see Treylon Burks, a guy who isn't known for his speed, do that, it felt like A.J. Brown-esque. It felt so A.J. Brown-esque. And again, he was playing banged up. He was making every play he could make for them. He made another one down the sideline where Jefferson went to him back shoulder and with Job on him off play action. They were kind of in their own end. And he just made such a great play on the ball. And his ability to box guys out using his size was on full display. And then on the other side, like as great as Bryce Young was, and hey, John Metchie had a great bounce back game too, for the record. Jameson Williams is like the engine of that offense. Just get him the ball in space and like let him make a play. They ran an RPO where he outran the whole Arkansas defense, and his speed just looked like he was on another level. Then his other touchdown was just like a straight. sorry, I'm dealing with some. I'm playing injured like Treylon Burks with a throat injury. The other touchdown was on a deep post, and he just toasted the whole Arkansas secondary, tracked the ball perfectly. His speed was, Arkansas just couldn't handle him whatsoever. Yeah. Wait, in the first touchdown, too, he had a 79-yarder. Was his first touchdown. I forgot about it, where he just – it was also a fucking amazing throw for Bryce Young, for the record.
Yeah, it was.
But he was bracketed by defenders, and he kind of – like, as the ball was in the air, both defenders were in pretty good position. He had, like, a half step, and then he just pulled away completely and housed it. Yeah. Like, it was DeSean Jackson-esque. He's been DeSean Jackson-esque this year for them.
Definitely. No, good take. Jumping to Burks first, I – just want to say how impressive that big long second touchdown was, where you just don't see dudes doing that to Alabama ever, you know. And I know their defense isn't as good as usual, but it doesn't matter. That was crazy. Like you said, at 230, being able to run away from that Bama defense was special. I don't know. I think that's going to be the play that you come back to when or like even teams, you know, they come back to, and like it's not like teams aren't going to love them, but you throw in that play, and that's the play that's going to sell you. You know what I mean? That's
right now, of these four receivers who I think all are clear top 40 selections, I think three of the four almost guaranteed first-round picks. Who do you think's the first off the board?
I don't know. I think it's Garrett Wilson right now.
I think Garrett Wilson's the most well-rounded.
Yeah, I think it – honestly, if I went to say – I'd say Wilson, then Burks, and then Olave, but –
I think Williams goes ahead of Olave.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the team, though. I don't think they're going very many picks apart from each other.
I think Williams is going to run like a 4.35 and then go top 20.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I mean, this is really, every year we say the receiver class is so fun, and yet again it is. And these four have been awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
They were my top two shooting up the board for the record.
I was going to say Olave and Wilson were mine, so perfect. We're just banging things out. I think defensive prospect of the week was a little tougher for me. What about you?
I totally agreed. There was no one that stood out, so I went back to the fucking well. I thought Aiden Hutchinson was the best defensive player. I'm sorry. I thought he was the best defensive player that I watched this week, especially given no one had any massive performances.
It's real smart. You name some Ohio State guys on offense, gotta say a Michigan guy for defense. I get it.
And also, this honestly, I put him here in protest for him not being on the Bednarik finalist list.
Was he not?
Should have been. Okay, it was Jordan Davis, Kayvon Thibodeau, and Kyle Hamilton. So, like, you can't take anything away from those three.
But Kyle Hamilton's missed half the year. Kayvon Thibodeau's missed some games. I put Aiden Hutchinson above both.
Totally agree with you. Not Davis. And I think Davis deserves it.
Yeah, Davis is a lock, but I think Aiden Hutchinson above both.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would easily argue Hutchinson over Thibodeau because of the injury. And like I said, Hamilton's been banged up too. So again, what else is new? College football writers not watching other teams, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so yeah, this is my protest that he should have been a finalist easily. And it was like the first drive against Maryland, he just took the game over, and it got less flashy, but, like, you know, classic Aiden Hutchinson, where it's every play just making something happen, but not necessarily making the play. No sacks this week, had a TFL, but had a PBU on the first drive. I think the second snap, he just got his arms up. He just feels so well-rounded, man. And then the very next play, he chased down a screenplay on third down, prevented it. It was a hell of a fucking play where he just got wide on a little bubble screen and was kind of alone out there. I made the tackle. And then he had another huge run stop on a fourth down where he just slashed inside. Like, they had no chance on him. I think he's complete. I think Thibodeau, I don't know. Him and Thibodeau are going to be a fucking argument there, Rob, I think.
I agree with you. And I agree with you, and I think more people are going to agree with you as we get closer.
Yeah, and I think when it comes down to it, Hutchinson's more well-rounded. He's more of a complete player than Kayvon Thibodeau. I'm not saying he's better, but I think he's just more of a complete player right now.
This is the AJ hour because my best defensive prospect is probably your favorite non-Wolverine in the country, Sauce Gardner.
Yeah, he probably is my favorite non-Wolverine.
Against SMU, the number one offense in the AAC, Sauce Gardner got targeted one time. Obviously, it was not completed. He shot. Now, Danny Gray was out, but he shot Reggie Roberson down completely, which is a little hint at his sliding down the board later. Oh. But He's phenomenal. Like, he was sticking to Roberson like glue, and when he wasn't on Roberson, it didn't, like, they couldn't do anything. Like, Tanner Mordecai looked lost. The Cincy defense as a whole played awesome. Kobe Bryant played great across from him too, but I think Sauce Gardner was the story. Now, hey, they're ranked top four, and they're set to make the playoff. They control their destiny now.
Yep.
And I mean, Sauce Gardner has been as good as that name suggests.
I still don't get why he's not getting the love he deserves.
I think it's just people that don't haven't, like, as great as Cincy has been. A lot of people haven't watched Cincy games because they're normally, even though they've played some lesser teams close, like, they, like, the SMU game felt like it was should have been the biggest Cincy game of the year to this point, right? And, like, Cincy just, I watched the whole game, and Cincy, it was never a doubt, and it wasn't a very exciting game. Cincy just knows what they're doing, and I don't know, there's more exciting games on, so no one's watching Sauce Gardner. And plus, because he's never allowed a touchdown, no one even bothers throwing at him really anymore. I feel like people forget he's there.
Okay, I'm going to frame this, because obviously I think they're locked into four. I think they're going to finish the job, obviously, and get into the playoffs, and I'm fucking happy that they're going to. I shouldn't jinx it, but they should, right? I'm excited to see, say, if, you know, someone's got to lose in the SEC, right? So this is not going to be the final top four, and obviously Michigan's going to beat Ohio State, so that's not the final top four either. But with this top four, say they finish, not in this order, but I really hope it's not Cincy, Georgia, because I want to see Sauce against those Bama receivers or those Ohio State receivers.
I want to see Stetson Bennett put Sauce in a grave.
It'd be so much less fun because, like, he's just like, he's going to shut down Ladd or something. Like, okay, sick. But I want to see him against, you know, all those fucking receivers we just named.
Yeah, I agree. Good take. Okay, shooting up the board. We've both mentioned our top two. So, in total, Treylon Burks, Jameson Williams, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson.
Yeah,
those were the four best draft eligible offensive players this week.
Totally agree.
My next up on shooting up the board, the Ohio State offensive line as a whole, specifically Nicholas Petit-Frere and Thayer Mumford, who has looked great at guard this year. Michigan State's front seven couldn't do anything, and Michigan State's not like a loaded front seven in terms of NFL talent, but they're a good unit who's played well this year. And Ohio State just blew them off the ball. It felt like every snap C.J. Stroud had forever in the pocket. It was rare that C.J. Stroud had to extend a play with his legs. They ran for over 200 yards. They only gave up two sacks. Petit-Frere is a freak athlete. Thayer Mumford, as a guard, is a good athlete who is, I think, really made himself some money this year. Two guys who could both end up Petit-Frere, I think, is going to be a top 50 pick. And Mumford's like, he should be at the Senior Bowl and could be – end up, who knows, a top 100 guard.
Yeah, no, that's a good take. I gave them a show too. Also, like, I thought about putting a DeJuan Jones here for Ohio State.
He's the greatest basketball player in high school history. You see those highlights? God damn. So, but yeah, DeJuan Jones is, I don't think he comes out, but 6'8", like 350, and moving the way he moves.
He's been really good this year.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he was so good through the spring and everything, that's why Mumford, a 4-year starter at left tackle, is playing guard, so they could slide Petit-Frere over and start DeJuan Jones at right tackle.
Yeah. Hey, while we're here in Buckeye, I don't have a lot of shooting up the board because we've hit so many guys already. Like, I have Petit-Frere here too. But I got another Buckeye. Not a huge statistical game. I almost had him for outplayed the box score, but I got another Buckeye there. I put Tyreek Smith here, who...
Yeah, he played awesome.
Played fantastic, and he's been fantastic the last... I don't know, 5 weeks or so? Like, he's had a really good year.
Buckeyes' defense has turned it around a lot in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And part of that is Matt Barnes being the defensive play caller now, but part of it is having Tyreek Smith emerge as a edge player they can lean on.
Yeah, no, that's I totally agree. And he had that, like, big TFL where he just read that zone read perfectly and ate him. Another guy had a big PBU there, too. Only two tackles in those two plays, but... his presence, like, I felt like he was way more around the football than that. I thought he had, like, a good chunk of pressures. Not credited for them for some reason, though, but I thought he was outstanding.
Yeah, I agree. Going to the Utah-Oregon game, I'll give you one guy on each side of the ball. Devin Lloyd, it was like his least statistically impactful game this year.
Yeah.
But he still looked awesome. He made a couple plays backside. His ability to stack and shed and get off a block against the run was awesome. He got downhill on an outside run for a TFL. Just, he was playing at a different speed than Oregon run game that's been great this year.
Yeah.
And kind of carried that team. So he deserves a shout out. And though he had two drops, Brant Keithy's athleticism at the tight end position made a huge difference for that Utah passing attack.
That was my next guy, yeah.
Yeah, like he had two drops, but he still went for 118 on five. And one drop was tough, and he drew pass or defensive holding maybe on it.
Yeah.
And the other drop was bad, but just his play speed as like kind of a move tight end put Oregon in a tough spot defensively.
Yeah, that one catch and run where you just kept shedding sack.
Yeah,
Looked like he was going to just up the middle of the Oregon defense. Looked like he was going to go down. Nope, shed sack. Looks like he just kept going and going. And he was just so dangerous after the catch. And you really felt against a very talented Oregon defense, you know, you felt his explosiveness. I
agree.
So, yeah, drops, but athleticism on display big time.
Another senior tight end who could be at the Senior Bowl. Yeah,
he should be.
Yes. Who else do you have?
That was it for me. That was my whole list.
Okay, that's my whole list too. Let's get this sliding. Okay, but before I ask you, I just want to say the running back class in general. We knew it wasn't a very impressive looking, like a solid group, but no one that you're like the NFL people are really going to suggest as a first round guy probably. Yeah. And like Breece Hall and Isaiah Spiller under the years, like kind of the cream of the crop. And they both, I don't think, have lived up to expectations. Kenneth Walker obviously came out of nowhere, put himself on the map, was a Heisman favorite, was irrelevant against Ohio State. So that's my first thing. And part of it was Michigan State got down early and they just gave up on trying to run the ball. But Kenneth Walker had 7 touches for 29 yards. Like, I think Kenneth Walker's an NFL starting running back. I think he's the best running back in the class. I don't think you take him in the first round. I don't think you think that either.
No.
I
love him, though.
Yeah, and, like, I think he's going to be an instant impact starter in the NFL, but it's just, like, the type of running backs, one, you don't take running backs in the first round ever. Two, the types of running backs we see go in the first round are the types who can change the game no matter the circumstances. Like, you think back to the things Christian McCaffrey or Saquon Barkley did at Stanford and Penn State, respectively. Like, it didn't matter who they were playing, they would have huge games. I always think back to that Saquon Barkley Iowa game. That was one of the greatest running back performances I've ever seen. Kenneth Walker isn't that type of running back. We've seen running backs of his status go in the first round before. I just don't think you take him. And then on top of that, I thought Breece Hall looked terrible against Oklahoma. He could not create for himself.
Those are my two guys, by the way.
Okay.
I'll
give you one more, too. Despite UTSA and Meep Neep Nation defeating UAB in a crazy game, that game was awesome.
They didn't move up. Disgusting, but anyways, yeah.
Sincere McCormick didn't really do all that much, and he had plenty of opportunity. He, similar to Breece Hall, he just wasn't creating for himself, and like, the defense was keying in on him, which really opened it up for Frank Harris, who had a great game. And he's a really fun quarterback. But it just reminded me that, like, as fun as McCormick is and as much hype as he has, like, he's another guy who he's probably more like a day three pick.
Agreed.
So I think the running back class as a whole. But I know I'm with you on that. But some people have been talking about Sincere McCormick is like a big time pick, you know?
They were from the start. No, I told you. Okay, let's go back to Kenneth Walker. So I feel like, yeah, we had to put him here. He wasn't bad. They just didn't give him the ball. And, yeah, of course, they got down fast. But they were doing that weird rotation right off the bat, and it made no fucking sense to me. After giving him the ball 35 times and basically single-handedly beating Michigan, given that they shouldn't have won, by the way, single-handedly beating Michigan, they get him 7 touches in this game. I think they should revoke Mel Tucker's fucking extension, because that is insane. I know the game was out of hand, but it doesn't matter. What the fuck else are you going to do? Like, Thorne has been okay, but, like, I don't know, man. Like, that was ridiculous. Because it wasn't when they were down that they're like, okay, we got to move away from the running game. It was early on where the game was, like, you know, 7 or 14 nothing, and they weren't getting the ball to Kenneth Walker. And at first I was like, is he banged up? Did he get hurt? And then, you know, he come back in and he had that one really nice 15-yard carry, whatever it was, that he made that really sweet cut. I'm like, okay, this is Kenneth Walker getting going. And then they rotated right out, and it's fucking whatever other – I can't remember their back's name. They suck. And it was just embarrassing, in my opinion. I don't know what the hell they were doing. And Hall, I agree with you. Just not impressive at all. He had that one nice one-handed catch. Other than
that was a nice catch.
It was a really nice catch. Other than that, though, actually running the ball, not impressive. Really, really unimpressive.
A couple more for me. I mentioned Sauce Gardner shutting down Reggie Roberson. His like, he's going to have to build himself back at the Senior Bowl. He's had a very meh year. He doesn't look nearly as explosive as he did prior to the injury. I think I even mentioned that last week. Just two catches for 7 yards, especially Danny Gray out. They needed him to step up for Mordecai, and he didn't. So that's a big blow to his status. I thought Kayvon Thibodeau. UDOT did a great job shutting him down. Yep. Made him irrelevant for much of that game. Especially, I thought his lack of impact against the run was kind of the biggest thing, because he's been such a good run defender. But Utah did a really good job doubling him and just kind of washing him out of plays. Pass rush-wise, there just wasn't a lot of, different looks. It felt like he just kept trying to rely on his pure athleticism, and there wasn't a ton going on with his hands.
Yeah, I put him here too. I totally agree. Like, it's hard to really, like, is he really slamming on the board? No, but... like you just said, I thought Utah really just took him out of the game very effectively and was not much of an impact. And you look at that, and I've already banged the table for Hutch on this episode. It's week in, week out, Hutch is the best player on the field. Thibodeau might be the most talented player on the field, but there's been weeks where he's not the best. And it's plus dealing with injury stuff, but no, I agree. And that was kind of a game that was built for Thibodeau to not look his best, because they're just a ground and pound and get you kind of on the play action kind of team, and he wasn't good. Speaking of tight end, though, I know we've been here many times this year, but I wanted to just bring up Jahleel Billingsley again and how irrelevant he is for the Alabama offense.
I forgot about him.
Exactly, and I mean, he was a lot of people tight ends one, and maybe this is a tight end episode, because he's not. I don't think he's anyone's tight end number one anymore, but very much could well be still a riser when he does decide to declare. I mean, maybe he's a guy who transfers, because, I mean, we know he was in Saban's doghouse entering the year, not getting the touches that he should be. So maybe he's a guy that transfers. I wonder if that's a thing.
Speaking of Alabama, how about Josh Jobe, who I already mentioned Traylon Burks got the best of him. I don't know where Josh Jobe stands, but he entered the year as a guy people thought was one of the best corners in the country.
He's not.
Like, he doesn't – I don't think he's, like, even a draftable corner, but he's an Alabama corner, so I'm sure we'll see him at the Senior Bowl and we'll see some hype. But, yeah, he looked terrible against Burks.
Has he had a good game this year? Like, of course they play – like, they're not playing great teams every week, but I don't remember a game where he really stood out. Positively, that is.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Do you have anyone else?
No, let's make the jump.
Out of nowhere, I think Micah Taufua – I can't say his last name. Taufua? The edge for Utah was, like, along with Devin Lloyd, dominant against Oregon. He ate the Ducks' right tackle's fucking lunch every snap. He had just one sack, and it was a great inside spin move. But he kept just beating him and getting under him with rip and dips. I thought three or four big-time hurries throughout that game. He's a fifth-year junior. In like a 3-year starter, but he looked great. He looked athletic, and he had a nice pass rush repertoire. Another Sky Moore touchdown.
Sky Moore's fucking good. It's weird that the underclassmen are like seemingly way better than the upperclassmen in the MACtion this year.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talent. That's fun. My out of nowhere guy, and sorry, one last point on that. You wouldn't think that would be this year, because all the auto dudes took the super senior year. Anyways. My out-of-nowhere guy, he's not that out-of-nowhere, but I thought Isaiah Thomas for the Sooners was really, 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 really good against the Cyclones. And I thought he outplayed Benito. I thought he outplayed Winfrey, who neither of them really were bad. But he just kept making big play after big play. Had a couple of sacks. It felt like he was making more than that. Like it was constantly around the football against – only had 3 tackles, too, but constantly around the football against Iowa State. So just like out of nowhere in the fact that he looked like the best player on that defense.
My prospect that made me look stupid is Canadian John Metchie.
Me too. Because I give him shit. I've been giving him shit. So I had to give him credit for shutting me up this week.
Yeah, that was a great comeback game where his speed did look legit. He complimented Jameson Williams perfectly. Helped that Bryce Young was playing so great. But that was the John Metchie I think a lot of people expected to see this year. And maybe hasn't next year's consistent. A breakout.
Yeah, I don't – like, why come out this year, right? Next year you're the dude at Bama. Why fuck around? You know, Young is obviously going to be there again. Like, I think he should stay in – I think next year is the breakout, Rob. I think it is.
My prospect matchup, Alabama's O-line, Arkansas's D-line.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
Evan Neal was on throughout that game. The right tackle struggled, but Arkansas's big names, John Ridgeway, senior bowl invite or acceptee, and Trey Williams, I thought both were quieted down. Evan Neal handled Trey Williams pretty consistently. Ridgeway didn't look too dynamic as a pass rusher, but it was still fun to watch all these prospects battle.
It's a good one. I went with Andrew Booth, the Clemson corner, who we haven't talked about too much because Clemson sucks, versus A.T. Perry and Ja'Quari Roberson, who obviously Clemson beat Wake. But Perry and Roberson both had pretty good games. Perry went over 100, Roberson just under at 93. But I don't think it was coming against Andrew Booth. Andrew Booth was pretty outstanding. This was kind of like... I know you're going to look at the box score and kind of see Roberson and Perry kind of did their thing, but Booth, they kind of rotate him in and out, which is fucking stupid. Clemson just sucks. But Booth had an awesome interception, too, where he's kind of like the receivers kind of drag him down. He's leaning backwards, had a great play, had a couple other PBUs. It was a really good don't forget about me game from Andrew Booth. And Perry and Roberson are just, they're week in, week out, like a really, really, really fun duo.
Yeah, baby. Who played the box score for you?
I'm with Haskell Garrett, who I mentioned earlier. I think I could have had, I almost had Smith and Garrett here, but I'm like, I'll give Smith the nod for shooting up. And Garrett kind of started from the start where, yeah, he had the sack, but I thought this was a really impactful game for Garrett all around. Remember that first, I think it was on the first drive where they tried to set up the screen to Kenneth Walker and Garrett just sniffed it out right away. I'm like, that's a great play by Garrett. Kind of just forced the throw into the dirt. And on the very first snap, he had that play where he made the sweet little swim move and got the tackle on Walker the very first snap. Garrett kind of set the tone early and followed through. And like you said, had the sack too. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a really, really good game for him.
Yeah, I think it was his most important. It was their most important game of the year and his most impactful game by far of the year.
Yeah.
My outplay the box score is kind of a deep cut. He didn't have a single catch for the Utah offense, but Utah's other tight end, Cole Fotheringham, who's like their blocking tight end, because Brent Keithy's basically like a jumbo slot, like move chess piece. Fotheringham's their like more classic inline guy. He was the one who they basically stuck an offensive lineman in him against Kayvon Thibodeau for most of the night, and he dominated. I thought he freaking moved Kayvon Thibodeau throughout the game at the point of attack, and he looked like a tight end who could find a role in the NFL just for what he can do as a blocker.
Yeah, the Jaguars will take him in the fourth.
Yeah, agree.
Speaking of tight ends, I got a tight end for prospects who's being overhyped. Someone you've mentioned on the show already, though.
Trey McBride,
yeah, correct.
Did you watch the Colorado State game?
No, I didn't, but I don't get the hype he's getting on him. Like,
I think he's... like, he's very much in that, I guess my question should be, what's the hype?
I've seen top 50.
Oh.
Yeah, that's that. I think the top 50 talk like, is way too much.
He's super, I would agree he's in the same, like, realm as all these tight ends we've talked about. Especially the more small school guys like the Cole Turners, the Isaiah Likelys and whatnot, but.
I think push comes to shove, though. Their athleticism is just going to outshine McBride.
Well, I was going to say, to say McBride's top 50 is to say he's tight end one, because I don't think any of these tight ends should go top 50, really.
I think, like, Dane Brugler even had him in his, like, you know, the next 15 that didn't make him top 50, but, like, I've seen him top 50 for other people.
Yeah. See, give me Cole Fotheringham over him all day.
And, like, he is a good tight end. I'm not trying to shit on Trey McBride. Like,
no, I know three, what you're saying. Sure. It's just too much. It's too much.
Yeah, like he's had 1,000 yards this year, 84 catches, only one tight end, one touchdown, which is kind of weird. But yeah, just some of the hype I've seen, it's almost like he's like the trendy name to put as tight end one for like mock drafts and stuff. But like, it's not guys that are really watching him.
My overhype's Christian Harris. Every time I watch the Alabama defense, he just doesn't – like, people are talking about him as a top 10 pick, as a Micah Parsons-level linebacker, and he's
– no.
Like, every time I watch that Alabama defense, he does not stand out. It's – the guys who stand out are Will it, – it's generally Will Anderson by a large, large, large margin.
Yes.
And then I think Henry Toto has played better than him.
You know what's funny? Henry Toto is my transfer of the week.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, because – Harris is the second best off-ball linebacker on that team. At least that's what I saw against Arkansas.
Agreed. And he looks more like
in a year we've seen guys like N'Kobe Dean and Terrell Bernard and tons of freaky athletic linebackers who pop. Christian Harris doesn't.
No. And like Toto's not a freaky guy, and I don't think he's like a stud or anything, but I had a really good game against
the Pigs.
Couple sacks, couple TFLs. It was kind of all over the ball. And, that's a great – I'm glad you led with Harris because beside him, Toto looks like the way superior football player.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. My transfer who popped – I'm going to – my last two categories are just Maction people because it's the fun. Like, I know we got Maction next – this is our final week of Maction, but I probably won't be much Maction talk on our final show.
It's only two games this week, too.
Yeah. Well – so, do we count a Friday afternoon, Thanksgiving, Eastern versus Central? Is that Maction still? Because I don't think it is, but it isn't. Like, it's not real Maction. I appreciate it, but it's not the same.
Agreed.
Okay. Okay, so my transfer who popped on the scene is James Madison transfer, Juwan Hamilton, who is now at Eastern Michigan, ran for 179 against Western Michigan, 5'8", 200, got some juice. And kind of a stout, physical, but straight line explosive runner. He was a lot of fun against Western.
Who's your small school guy?
I got two Western Michigan guys, which is great because they're playing right now and Sky Moore's going off. And Sky Moore last week is my small school guy who caught my eye for this week. But he's also catching my eye again tonight. He had 12 for 181 in a score against Eastern. I think if we were to make just purely... like the Maction players of the month for November, like truly just what they did in Maction games. Sky Moore is up there. Lou Nichols, Sky Moore, like Ralph Hawley.
Yeah.
Those
Fayad.
Khalil Pimpleton for that one game.
The Pimp Man for sure.
Yeah. But like Sky Moore's been the most consistent non running back, non Lou Nichols player through Maction.
Sky Moore's been like a dude since he stepped foot on campus, too.
I was going to say, I mean, Dwayne Eskridge went second round last year. Sky Moore could be next.
Very possible. I mean, it definitely helps that he, you know, like if you're a small school guy like that, to get like that real bump, it really helps to be at a program that produces that position. And Western Michigan produces more wide receivers than most G5 schools, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like he's a third-year sophomore, so we're assuming he's not coming out for, like, 2 years, but he's put up numbers.
Yes, yeah, to consistently and, just winning deep, too.
And Ralph Hawley's just a wrecking ball, so I had to put him, too.
Yeah, you know, I want to give a shout-out to he's Air Force's wide receiver, but he's clearly not a wide receiver in Air Force, because he got 23 carries for 221. That's DeAndre Hughes, who's, like, it's like 5'8", 175, and he's a wide receiver that's obviously playing that triple option. Just thought it was goofy. Obviously, they beat Nevada in triple OT Friday night. Didn't catch the game, but I watched some Hughes highlights, and he's a lot of fun.
You know what else is a lot of fun? Turkey Day. Especially with MyBookie, because they give you plenty of reasons to be thankful. Starting with a $250 risk-free bet on Thursday afternoon when the Cowboys host the Raiders. Bet the spread between the Raiders and Cowboys at MyBookie. When you win, you win. And if you don't, MyBookie will refund you up to $250. Simply put, you can't lose this bet. And that's what I call no risk, all gravy. Bet you hadn't heard that before. Before you get your wager in, set yourself up for success by doubling your first deposit when using promo code SPORTSDRINK at MyBookie. That's promo code SPORTSDRINK to double your initial deposit all the way up to $1,000, so you won't need to break the wishbone to be the one to come out ahead. Feast risk-free on Turkey Day with MyBookie, and make sure you stick around for seconds as they gear up for what should be a fun Black Friday with tons of odds boosts that will have your belly and your pockets full. Bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie. We have a new sponsor that you guys are going to love. Symbol is the stock market for sports that allows you to profit off your sports knowledge. On Symbol, you can trade sports teams like stocks, and every time your team wins, you earn cash. Use your sports knowledge on Symbol to buy low, sell high, and earn cash payouts when your teams win. Join the 7,000-plus early adopters who have started to invest in their favorite teams. Visit www.simbull.com to create a free account. When you deposit, make sure to use promo code SD to make your deposit risk-free. That means even if you lose money, Symbol will refund your initial deposit, no questions asked. Join Symbol, start investing and profiting from your favorite teams. Spotify Green Room is a live audio-only sports talk platform that's free to download and to use. Talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. Perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. Share your own experiences on the app. All you need to do is download the Spotify Green Room app, free in the iOS App Store, create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the group. Follow all your favorite sports media people to be notified when their rooms go live. Come with your spiciest takes. I got a spicy take for you, AJ.
I'm scared. Let's hear it.
I'm going to go 5-0 this week because I got 4-1 the last 2 weeks.
Hey, I was trying to go against you and try to make some picks up, and I didn't. I went 2-3.
Damn, that sucks to suck. I went 4-1. I'm 36-19 on the season.
It's a good year, man. It's a good year. I'm 2 below .500 at 26-28-1.
This week is it's final regular season week, and I was tempted to say let's pick 10 games, but then I thought about it and I was like, I don't want to do that.
We can pick every game next week.
Okay, thanks.
Including USC and Cal.
USC. Okay, let's only pick Cal USC.
Winner takes home the regular season pick'em title.
Okay, I like that.
I'm just kidding.
It's all on the line. No, I like that. You're right. College football week 13, Thanksgiving extravaganza picks.
Gobble, gobble.
Are you taking any, are you taking the Egg Bowl? Are you taking the Apple Cup? Are you taking any weekday games?
I'm taking a weekday game, but not one of those games, if I may.
Yeah, Texas, Kansas State. You've been talking about this one for
Texas,
a while.
Texas, K-State. I've been hyping this one. No, noon. Noon? Why is this game at noon? I don't know. CBS. Boise State. -2.5, going to San Diego State. San Diego State's faltering a little bit the last couple weeks, but regardless, I think they're still the better team at 10-1. They're getting points. They're at home. It's a 9 a.m. start. I don't know why. Local time? So I'm literally just picking the team that gets to sleep in their bed the night before, their own bed, I should say, the night before 9 a.m. kickoff. Going with the Aztecs. I think they're better than Boise, but although Boise's getting a bit hot lately.
Can I just say how shitty that is for the student athletes that they don't their Thanksgiving is ruined by the fact they have to play a football game at 9 a.m. the next day.
Big time. I don't know. Even as I was saying that, I'm like, did I miss something? Is this game not in San Diego for some reason? But no, I checked and it is. And yeah, I don't know what the fucking deal is.
Fun. Okay, I'm starting with the game. Number 2, Ohio State, at number 5, Michigan, 12 p.m. Fox on Saturday. Big noon kickoff, AJ. This is the only big noon kickoff that actually is big and at noon. Buckeyes, 8-point favorites in the Big House. I ride my Buckeyes. I think it's going to be a shootout, and Michigan doesn't have the passing attack to keep up. Ohio State's offense is far better, more explosive passing. Yeah. More well-rounded. Defensively, I think Michigan's got more playmakers defensively. But Ohio State's defensive unit as a whole has been much better the last couple weeks. I'm ready for the Buckeyes to blow them out again.
By the way, I checked. That game's in Carson, California, a suburb of Los Angeles. I don't know why. It might be where they filmed Pros vs. Joe. So it might be the Pros vs. Joe's Thanksgiving noon kickoff. So I think I might be excited for that. The game. Who cares about the game? I mean, let's talk about the Pros vs. Joe's Thanksgiving kickoff. No. No, of course. Michigan's going to win. It's in the Big House. It's 8. They're getting in 8 points. It's all gravy, baby, in the words of the great Rob Paul. Michigan's got a great defense. Ohio State's got a great offense. It's going to be a great game. If they get blown out, I cry. You won't see me on the show next week. If they lose close, I cry harder. You'll never see me on the show again. But I'm excited. I'm very excited. I didn't have high hopes for this Michigan season, so it's all nice, but I do have a lot of hope now, and it's going to get crushed. But Michigan wins outright, probably like 35-10 or something like that.
Good. Yeah. Okay. 3:30 CBS, the Iron Bowl, number 3 Alabama, 19.5-point favorites at Auburn. I'm taking Bama. I think Brian Harsin's a bad coach. I've thought it the whole time. Bo Nix is terrible. Bama, I know Arkansas covered against Bama, but Auburn does not have the guns to keep up with what Bryce Young and that passing attack did last week. I don't know. What reason has Auburn given us to believe they could cover this?
Only
like
one
that,
reason.
That Mississippi State comeback against them, like we didn't talk about how fucking big a joke that was.
It was a big joke. There's only one reason Auburn gives to have any belief in it, and it's the Iron Bowl. And Alabama's better than Auburn every single year. They're going to Auburn. And Auburn always plays them tight. They always play them tight. I'm taking Auburn. Do okay. I believe in this? And then no.
Brian Harsin's going to cover and then parlay it into the Washington State job.
Smart. I respect that.
Okay, the real biggest game of the week. 3:30 CBS Sports Network. The Hilltoppers of Western Kentucky at the Thundering Herd of Marshall. As we know, this is for the Conference USA East Division. UTSA sealed the West last week against UAB in what was a great game. This should also be a great game. I'm taking the Hilltoppers, 1-point dogs, so just an outright win from Bailey Zappe, who could become the sixth QB in NCAA history, I believe it is, to throw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns in a season. I think that him and Jareth Stearns are going to be too much for Marshall. I know you like Grant Wells, and Rasheen Ali's been one of the best G5 running backs. They got Xavier Gaines. Like it's Marshall has a players on that offense. I just don't think they can keep up, and they got some players on their defense. Like Nazee Johnson's one of the and Stephen Gilmore are both like guys who could make the NFL leap, but. Like Bailey Zappe, especially in the last couple of games, they've really hit their stride.
Western Kentucky going full Houston Baptist has been a genius decision, and Bailey Zappe's having an all-time season. He is.
And so is Jareth Stearns.
And so is Jareth Stearns, absolutely. But you know me, I've been a Zapp man from the start, since the start of last year when he was for like 700 yards against.
You talked about it on this show.
Yeah, I was the OG. And
are you picking this game?
No, but I'm picking the Hilltoppers.
But spiritually, you are.
Spiritually. This game is also spiritually for me. I am going 3:30 ESPN, the game formerly known as the Civil War.
Yep. I almost took it. I didn't. I opted not to.
Oregon State at Oregon. The Ducks are -7. I think we're going to get chaos in the Pac-12.
I do want to say, Oregon State's quietly been like way better than they've been in recent years.
I tuned into a lot of the game late Saturday night, and they were like good. They're gritty. They were wearing like early 2000s throwbacks, I don't know if that's just how they look now.
No one knows.
It reminded me of like Quizrod and all that era. I loved it.
Jonathan Smith quietly like turned that program into they're bowl eligible this year, but at least a feisty team.
This game's for the North.
Yeah.
If they win, they win the Pac-12 North. And I'm saying they're coming to Autzen, and they're going home with the Pac-12 North. Take the Beavs plus the points in a big rivalry.
I mean, it's worth noting, they have a wide receiver who's been starting for them for like 6 years in Trevon Bradford. So, 3:30 ABC for the Land-Grant Trophy. Penn State at number 12, Michigan State. Spartans are dogs at home.
Penn State's a weird team. I didn't realize it's a weird team. That's a good bet.
When I originally went to make this pick, I was going to take Penn State to cover.
Yeah.
But then I realized Michigan State was dogs at home. Bounce back game. I know they look like shit against the Buckeyes. Penn State is like a very Jekyll and Hyde team. I think the Spartans find their way back, lean on Kenneth Walker a lot more.
Yeah.
And win this game.
Yeah, Tucker just heard me rip him a new one earlier on the show. He's like, all right, you're right. I got to feed the old KW. And he's going to get back into the Heisman ballot. I think he's going to go off against it. Should be a fun game, actually, but I don't know if anyone's doing it. But it should be a fun game. 7:30, ABC.
Yeah.
Bedlam. Oklahoma State, -4. Who are you taking?
I went back and forth. It's tough. Oklahoma State's defense has been very good this year. They're a team that we haven't talked about all that much. Oklahoma is.
I had a run where I kept picking them, early, like mid-season.
Yeah, I think the Sooners come through.
I took the Sooners too.
I'm taking the Sooners to cover, not necessarily win, because it's Bedlam. It could be like a 3-point Cowboys win, but I'm taking the Sooners to cover. Caleb Williams had another big, like, it wasn't a dominant game, but he had a couple big,
the run
big time plays. The run, he had that the one touchdown throw on the move was awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's gonna be. It's a great test to see where Caleb Williams is at against this defense.
How many Rattler attempts do we get?
Fuck, I hope none.
Zero. Yeah, I agree. I hope so. No, I'm taking OU too. I'm taking OU. Stillwater is a special place, but I just think the Sooners.
Bedlam's a special game. It's going to be a close one.
It is. I feel like if I was getting points either way, I'd be taking the points, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of, I'm with you. I'm with you. Well, AJ, next, well, I guess not next show, but next week, one of us is going to be happy and the other's going to be sad. One of us is going to be going to the playoffs. The other will be going to the Rose Bowl, maybe. That's not so bad.
I think whoever wins loses the Big Ten championship.
Yeah, I hope so.
Couldn't even get that one out. Good luck, I guess.
Okay. Not the same to you. I don't give a damn about the whole state of Michigan.